Blog Talk Radio.
Our roots began in Africa, where we enjoyed self-determination and freedom, which were rooted in our sovereignty. Peace, family. Welcome to Dare to Win, the Us Lifting Us weekly radio program that airs every Thursday evening from 9 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern Time. Dare to Win is the place where we have sobering conversation about the economic plight of Black people and the imperative that we build the global economic machinery that will free us and once again put us on the path of making history. We at Us Lifting Us have developed an exact methodology on how to build this global machinery and pass it forward to our children and future generations. To join tonight's conversation, please call 929-477-2789. Press the number 1 on your phone when you want to make a comment or ask a question. If you prefer to listen on your computer, go to www.usliftingus.com. Scroll down to the bottom of the homepage, click on the Dare to Win button, then click on Listen Live. At that time, you will be on the Blog Talk Radio site. If you want to get reminders from Blog Talk Radio for upcoming Dare to Win programs, please click on the Follow button. ULU members, we have our own social media community. Please join if you have not already done so. There is a Dare to Win group, and we would like to have your feedback on past Dare to Win programs, as well as topic suggestions for future programs. Go to www.usliftingus.com. You can reach the ULU community through the members-only portal. When you register for the ULU community, please use the same name you use to join ULU. Registration is still open for our 2024 ULU Annual Convention and Members Meeting. which will be held on Saturday the 9th of March and Sunday the 10th of March in Atlanta. The theme is UBC's It's a Family Affair. Go to www.uslistingus.com to register and or to sign up as a sponsor. I am Sister Q, and joining me for this evening's discussion is Brother Shabaka, who, like me, is a member of ULU. The topic for tonight is, what should we also do during Black History Month? Peace, Brother Shabaka. How are you doing this evening?
Greetings, Sister Q. I'm doing fabulous. Hopefully you can hear me well, and the
yes,
listeners and family can also. Yes, I'm doing quite well. Feel good, energized, and I'm always anxious to share and have conversations with you and the family.
Thank you. We're glad to hear you, and we're glad to have you share information with us. And yes, we can hear you very well. So, Brother Shabaka, please tell the family, what else should we be doing during Black History Month?
Yeah, thank you, Sister Q, for that question. It's a very important question, and I think it comes in the context of when we look at our behavior going back to the 1970s when it was issued to the present time. We haven't really made very much progress, so I think we're at a turning point now where we should begin to say, is there anything else we should be doing relative to our position in the society? And it's an extremely important question, just as, you know, when Kwanzaa season coming around and we talk about the principles and values and what have you, do we do an assessment to say how well have these values and practices have helped us since last Kwanzaa or since last Black History Month? And I don't see us doing that. In particular, it has changed. The meaning and principle have changed. If you go to Webster now and you put in there, what is the purpose of Black history? You know, I'm talking about, you know, those dictionaries and encyclopedias that they have online. Generally what comes up is something that might sound like this. Black History Month was created to focus attention on the contributions of African Americans to the United States, or might say America, or the United States of America. It honors all black people from all periods of U.S. history. Now, that's very important. We got to break that down. From the enslaved people first brought over from Africa. There were people, we were enslaved. We were not slaves before we were brought from Africa here. We were kidnapped, prisoners of war, and then brought here. And then it might go on and say in the early 1700s. Well, we was on this continent before 1700s. Even after we left the Caribbean, Central and South America, we was in the U.S. Going back earlier than the 1700s. But anyway, that's what it that's what it says, and it gives the impression. Now remember, now in the slave period, we weren't considered American. We were property, you know. And I think when I talked last on the subject, I was trying to introduce that there may be some confusion around whether we were citizens or not citizens. We were citizens of the United States, but not necessarily citizens of the states, particularly in the South. The South did not consider us citizens because we were their property at one time. The same way, excuse me, if I go out here and buy a dog, then release the dog and say, you're free now, I'm not going to consider that dog on equal terms with myself. So the states that were involved in the Civil War, after the Civil War, the Confederate states, you know, had very little power because It was something like, I think, 11 Confederate states, 12 Union states, so a total of 20, a little over 20 states. All right, so you consider, mm-hmm. you know, when you introduce an amendment to the Constitution, you know, you got to have at least two-thirds of the House, Senate, you know, then you got to have three-fifths of the states. Well, obviously, if the Confederate states made up almost half of the states, you obviously can't get that 3-4, but they didn't have any power, so they had to go along with it. As a consequence, mm-hmm. you know, it's very doubtful that they consider us citizens of the states in which we were born. That's why I raised that. But anyway, this gives the impression that black people's history is so that we could commemorate our contributions to America. Now, we've been mm-hmm. catching hell, you know, in America, you know, and so what contributions we think we make. Now, I want you to listen to, and this comes out of the Association for the Study of African-American Life and History. This was the organization that Dr. Carter G. Woodson founded. And he is called, you know, the father of black history because it was he who introduced in 1926 the concept of a period of time in which we celebrate what we've done. But now I want you to listen to how he thought commemoration should take place. Woodson chose February for the reason, February for the commemoration of black history for the reason of tradition and reform. All right, what do I mean by that? It is commonly said that Woodson selected February to encompass the birthdays of two great Americans who played a prominent role in shaping black history, namely Abraham Lincoln, who at that time supposedly had introduced the Emancipation Proclamation, went to war, you know, defeated the South, all right, and then ushered in the 13th, 14th, and 15th Amendments. So, and then Frederick Douglass, the contribution of Frederick Douglass along with the abolition movement and what have you, whose birthday fell on the 12th and the 14th respectively. More importantly, he chose them for reasons of tradition. Since Lincoln's assassination in 1865, the black community, along with other Republicans, it was the Republicans. They reversed it now. The Republicans were sort of like the same as the Democrats are today. They flipped it. Had been celebrating the fallen president's birthday. In other words, the Republicans, that was the party in which Lincoln was president in, celebrated. Mm-hmm. They celebrated for a period of time his birthday. And so since when we were slave and made citizens, so-called, we tended, and since it was the Republicans under Abraham Lincoln who freed us, so-called, all right, we then, you know, joined that party as we joined the Democratic Party after Roosevelt got into office in the last century. Okay, so, but more importantly, in commemorating our traditions and commemorating our past, he did not stop at our contributions in America because mm-hmm. he mentions that our contribution was to advance human civilization. That goes outside America. Right. America is just a little over 250 years old. Human civilization goes back far. And Carter G. Woodson knew very well of Egypt. He knew very well of the empires on the African continent. He knew very well, all right, of the, because of his as a historian, contributions that were made in South Central Asia, the Pacific. He knew very well of all that. He knew that they were done by black folks. So he wasn't stopping at America. In fact, because the Europeans had indicated that we had no history. That was one of the justifications was enslaving us because he said that all Africans were doing was on the continent fighting each other. We were savages. All right, we were eating each other, you know, up. So we was cannibalistic, mm-hmm. and if it wasn't for kidnapping us, giving us Christianity, all right, we'd probably end up extinct for fighting and eating ourselves up on the African continent. So we had no history, had no culture to really speak of. Wits encountered that. He said, yes, he countered that. And yes, mm-hmm. sir. Go ahead, sister.
No, go ahead. Finish what you're saying.
Oh, okay. Okay, yes, he countered that, which is why he came up with Black History. All right, week at that time, and then it was extended. But we got into a little trick, because remember now, this was in February. His mm-hmm. thing was to advance our contribution, all right, to human civilization. And so we were not just, in other words, we was given an account to counter what the Europeans said, who said that we had no history. Obviously, we did, all right? And so things change. How do they change? Mm-hmm. Well, you know that in the 1960s, 1970s, we were out in the streets and America was on fire. We had the Civil Rights Bill, Voting Rights Bill introduced. We had the March on Washington. Okay, we had all of that stuff. Panthers came around. The provincial government for the Republic of New Africa came around. A number of organizations, nationalist organizations came around. We start using the word black. We didn't want to be called colored. We didn't want to be called Negro. All right, all of this happens in the 60s and 70s. And so what did the man do? He gave us a holiday, okay, or he gave us a month, all right, to celebrate. But we had to celebrate right. it according mm-hmm. to his dictates, and that was your contributions to the United States. You follow mm-hmm. me? Now, you remember now in 1926
right.
how Carter G. Woodson saw our commemoration, all right, to take place in February at the European, you know, who fed all of this stuff. You know, they fed all of our activities, our nationalist activities. They contribute to it. They had the funds, mm-hmm. all right, and as these funds, you know, they have stipulations. So you got three veins of themes, let me call them that. You got three veins circulating throughout our community. As a consequence, you know, of the period in which we were enslaved on up to the present time. One of those themes is, you know, after the Civil War, the intent was with the 13th, 14th, and 15th Amendment to free us, all right, make us citizens, and, of course, giving us the right to vote. And so there were certain groups of us that really wanted that, but it wasn't many. And that scared the Europeans right out of their shorts or whatever, all right? And that mm-hmm. was mm-hmm. after Sherman took a group of 20 people, all right, in Savannah after the Civil War, all right, in particular, and he had, these were 20 people who were noted as leaders in the black communities, and he asked them, what did they want? And they said they wanted land, all right, and they didn't necessarily want to have land, and they didn't necessarily want to be, well, he asked them, did you want to become, you know, citizens of the United States and flourish in white communities, or did you want to have, you know, be yourself? They said they wanted land, the means to be able to use that land to take care of themselves, and they would prefer, you mm-hmm. know, to be by themselves. So there was some degree of autonomy. Out of the 20, 19 said that, one person who was a freedman, F-R-E-E-D-M-A-N, mm-hmm. all right, said no, he preferred mm-hmm. to be with the Europeans. All right, as a consequence of that, that set the tone of the three veins, and the Europeans captured the minority view at that time, which is, oh, you want to be free mm-hmm. citizens of the United States. We didn't say that. We didn't have a choice. So they imposed their citizenship right. on us, okay, and which was mm-hmm. only one. And that one person just said he just wanted to work with Europeans. He didn't necessarily say he wanted to be a citizen. All right. The others said that they wanted to have some degree of autonomy, have their own land and the means by which they could work the land to take care of themselves. That never happened. All right. Because, as you know, Lincoln was assassinated and Johnson came in there and removed everything. But anyway, I'm saying mm-hmm. that the three themes, one was to become citizens, all right, have full and equal rights as the Europeans, just as they have. Really, it should have been full and rights as a European hierarchy, planters, because even the common European didn't have, there was limitation on what he or she could do, rights that he or she could have, mm-hmm. all right. And so we said we wanted full rights. That's what they said. The second theme that runs right. through that, well, we want to be separated or segregated, I should say, something like the 19 out of the 21 to be. They want to be left alone, have some degree of autonomy in which they took care of themselves and didn't necessarily want to interact with the Europeans. And the third theme that runs through our community is separation. We want to mm-hmm. separate. We don't want to integrate. We don't want to be next to them. We want to separate. Sort of like a theme of the Republic of New Africa, which you might hear Elijah Muhammad when he was alive, peace be unto him, when he was here, and, of course, the PGRNA and the African Afro-descended nation of today, which means they want to separate. They want to migrate. They want to get away from this boy. All right, so they are the three themes mm-hmm. that we have, and that is further represented by how the plantation system was divided. You had freedmen, okay, who saw themselves working mm-hmm. inside of the plantation system, but not enslaved, all right? You had the house Negro, right. all right, who worked inside the plantation system close to the master, all right, enslaved, all right, but not and having a much more better conditions than the field Negro, as Malcolm used to say, who worked in the fields and worked in the mines. And so that pattern has been emanating throughout our experience in America. And so when we talk about history, the European has always dominated everything that he does. He says, well, you want to be with us. You know, we wanted equal accommodation. And he said, oh, you want to sit next to us and eat a hamburger. No, we didn't say that. We just wanted to we didn't say we wanted to do that. We just wanted, if our taxes was doing that, and we went to a public place, we wanted to be able to sit down. We didn't want to be able to go around the back mm-hmm. and get a hot dog. All right. So he designed it for exactly. us. And so that is what's happening right now. So we're trying to set the record straight, you know, that how we practice now is good to show the many contributions and patterns that we didn't get, inventions that we didn't get, all right, and how that has helped America, and particularly even our contributions, which is why they have reparations, our contribution during the slave period was a tremendous impact. Mm-hmm. It made America rich. It didn't make us rich. Yeah, and the invention that they claimed they made, they didn't claim they made because they weren't doing any work. We were the one doing the work, and we saw the patterns by which to ease the work that we were doing. And, of course, what we did, as Brother Carter G. Woodson says, we did this more because even when they brought us over here, keep in mind now that they had a rudimentary understanding of agriculture. And when they killed off the Native Americans, all right, the Native Americans was not that far advanced than they were, you know, on areas of agriculture. All right, so we were taken because of our skills in the agricultural field and our skills in doing things to make agricultural work and our knowledge of how to plant, okay? These were cash crops, mm-hmm. but then again, it was just crops that needed to be produced and make them available to the European. Let me stop here a minute to see if anybody got their hands raised and want to come in just to either challenge or contribute to what we're talking about right now, or if you have some questions you want to ask.
Okay. There are no hands raised right now, Brother Shabaka. What I wanted to say was, and you did cover it, you did touch on it lightly, that when Carter G. Woodson started, introduced the idea of what he called Negro History Week, it mm-hmm. was, the week was for, he wanted all the so-called Negroes study aspects of Negro history, encompassing the world for 51 weeks. And on the 52nd week, which was Negro History Week, he wanted us to share among ourselves what we had learned over the year. He was trying to get us away from the idea of having big names come and talk to us and tell us what they wanted us to know. And I think that's one of the aspects that definitely got away from us. And now, even though we have a month, it's not generally us talking among ourselves, sharing what we have each learned. It's us bringing in big names to tell us what they want us to know. And they don't necessarily tell us anything that would encourage us to go forward, you know, day to day. It's like,
right.
This is what was done in the past, and it's like all of your future has happened, is in the past, so just get used to being what you are now. I think that's
right.
A big difference.
Yeah, you are so correct. His thing was to get us to learn, and that we did have a history, and that the school system was not teaching us that history, and that we didn't necessarily have to have the big names to come and preach to us about the history. All right, we could do things ourselves, and that we do after a period of time an evaluation to see how successful we were in capturing the information that was new to us from learning about what we did. It also makes the difference that what we see happening now, you know, as I indicated, that we do the same thing each year. And that is because when we do mm-hmm. the same thing each year, not very much different from year to year, it's because we don't have a plan to see what it is we want to do from the black history that we lay. We forget that our involvement that we've had in the so-called American system and that what we try to do, our agitation is what we come to call it sometimes, is to have a sense of freedom. That's why we do this agitation. Mm-hmm. When people come up and say that you wanted the right to vote because your ancestors died trying to fight the vote, no, we died because we were fighting for freedom, and we saw voting as a mechanism, if it was done correctly, that might reduce the mm-hmm. domination of the Europeans on us. All right, so we wanted to learn, and we wanted to devise strategy that helped us to become free of the tyranny of the Europeans. All right. But we haven't done that because we don't plan. The European plans, ever since the 1950s, when the agitation started in parts of the South, when it started in parts of the North, all right, the Europeans say, oh, mm-hmm. the Negroes, these Negroes are not happy. I thought I could fool them by, you know, putting in place certain kinds of things so that they would be happy and tranquil. All right, but now they're upset.
Mm-hmm.
So now I got to begin to pump a little bit more money into their organizations, into their churches and what have you. All right, I got to make sure that whatever is happening, all right, I'm in control. And so he plans 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 years out. We don't have plan. And as a consequence, we don't have a sense of evaluating after a period of time how we have progressed or not on our planet. And so as a consequence of that, not necessarily the consequence of that, but, you know, some brothers and sisters that I happen to be with put together a long-term strategic plan for Black America. That was about a couple years ago we started, and it was completed last year. And folks, if you want to get that plan for members, you can go in the back office and go to the library section where we have a lot of the documents, and you can pick up the long-term strategic plan, or you can go to www.blackeconomics.org, and you can also pick up the long-term strategic plan there and the executive summary, because the plan is on 46 pages. For people that don't read very much, you might find that challenging, but if you read a lot, don't worry about it. Just download that. But if you don't read that much, you know, you can pick up the executive summary and get something from that. The purpose of the writers for that plan was to provide a
Brother
long...
Brother Shibaka?
Yes, ma'am.
Before you get into that, we have a hand up. So can I take this call and then you go into that? Okay, thank you.
Yeah, please.
Mm-hmm. Okay, caller with the last four digits, 0580, please state your name, where you're calling from, make your comment, or ask your question. Thank you.
I'm calling in from Philly, and I think it's about time we
what's your
part
name,
ways.
What's your name, brother?
What is it?
My name's Irving.
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
I think it's about time we start parting ways with these people. That's what the plan needs to be, because they have been repeatedly trying to use foreigners in order to diminish our ability to do anything. And Ukraine immigrants is just the latest tactic in doing that. They tried to use Hispanics for doing that. They tried to use Arabs for doing that. These people are not interested in us being successful or gaming their system. It don't matter what we try inside their system. They're just going to subvert it. We need out. That's what the Matrix was about. That's what Marcus Garvey was about. That's what whatever you name was really about. Even the things you've talked about, that's what they were about. Out. We need
right.
out. That's what we need. Period.
Really,
we need to stop
appreciate
playing.
That, brother.
We need to stop
yeah,
playing
go ahead,
with these
continue.
People.
Yeah, go ahead and
we
continue.
We need to stop playing with these people. We done let them take over almost the whole planet when the whole planet really belongs to us in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
And before all this technology got started where you can look stuff up, they done repeatedly, it completely eradicated our people in different parts of the planet, from Tasmania to Russia to decimating the so-called Native Americans, which most of them were really African anyway, and the ones that aren't African are still mixed with African. Like the Redskins, they're actually Chinese and African, and Chinese people were the second people to America.
You
right,
make some valid points, brother.
Right.
So
let me speak
we thank
to that.
You for bringing
yeah,
that.
Go ahead, Sister Q.
I was thanking him for his comment. What did you want to say, Brother Shibaka?
No, I think the brother is right on, is that we seem to be in a posture where we say, well, we'll give him one more chance. And I don't know why I've been saying that for 200 years. they haven't changed yet. Which is why I said in the planning, which I was about ready to go to, the purpose of our planning is to guide us to produce independent, self-reliant, self-determining, and, of course, liberty. That's a plan. In other words, whenever I say anything, whenever I celebrate anything, it should be according to the plan that I have mapped out, all right, that the people have mapped out. And so the document itself, when you read through it, And brother, I hope that you get a chance to download a copy and just keep it for yourself. You know, it's 146 pages, but then, you know, keep making reference for it. And then please come on to the program like we're doing now and discuss where do we need to go with this document, where do we need to go with Ulu and their plan. But anyway, the purpose of the document was to provide is to provide a roadmap for real change and progress. All right, and then we basically what the brother has just said is part of the summary that we have. Now, we looked at our existence in this country during the enslavement period, Reconstruction, Jim Crow, civil rights, affirmative action, equal opportunity. Now we got diversity and everybody else coming in there as diverse. As he said, the Ukrainians are coming in there, I guess because they look a little bit more whiter than the Hispanics. All right. All right. Is included, all right, and all they've done is push us back. Now, if you have a plan, when you have a plan, all right, you need to discuss the plan. You need to evaluate it during certain periods of time to see if what you have outlined is consistent with the objectives that you have set in your plan. Otherwise, do you need to revisit and change that? I mean, so that doesn't say that we don't party, that we don't celebrate, that we don't do all the other things that we should be doing as we're working to redeem ourselves, to free ourselves from this tyranny. No, it just means that you take time at periods of time to evaluate what you've done and look at its progress. All right. Now, the methods that the writers use in order to make this plan, that this becomes important, and sometimes it has brought criticism, but I want to clarify it. We use the system called the classification of the functions of governance, all right, for developing this long-term strategic plan, all right. In addition to that, we also used what we call a common country analysis, all right. And the common country analysis basically came from the UN, all right. And keep that in mind. So, you know, the classification and these common country analysis we got from the UN. And so one of the questions has always popped up, well, why do you use stuff from the UN? Well, the UN is controlled by Western Europe, U.S. in particular, all right, and all of those countries, particularly the five countries that sit on the Security Council, colonized the world. That's what they colonized the world. So what did they do? They set up the world. They set up the world very similar to how they see in their own society in which they feel comfortable with, all right? And what they feel comfortable with is how they have this society set up. Now, let me tell you what this classification of functions of governance is, what it's composed of. It's composed of 10 sectors, 10 parts, all right? We took and combined two, so we have 9 parts in our plan, all right, 10 sectors. And let me tell you what they are. They're general public service, defense and public order and safety. All right, we combine defense and public order and safety. Mm-hmm. 3, economic affairs. 4, environmental protection. 5, housing and community amenities. That becomes important when you look at the gentrification that is happening, not just in Philadelphia, all right, not just in Baltimore, Maryland, although less. Did you know that D.C. is no longer Chocolate City? Okay. D.C. had more blacks than Baltimore did at one time, all right? Not anymore. I think that if the European population has not outdone them, they're very close to it. Health and wellness, recreation, religion, and culture. 8, education. And 9, social protection. Now, that's the classification. What does a classification does? What the government has to do, that's any government. And remember now, even when we get to the colonies, all right, the European has set up their former colonies the same way they set themselves up, or particularly in the major cities, okay, when you go out to the countryside, it's a little different story, all right? that feel comfortable them. It shows them how they expend resources. For an example, if you take recreation, religion, and culture, all right, so that means then that a municipality in a European structure or American structure has to reserve resources that is necessary to make sure that there is a foundation in which how they define recreation, religion, and culture is sustained. All right. That includes, most importantly, the economics infrastructure. What businesses are there to make sure, all right, that that is sustained? All right. And now that goes throughout the world. It's not just only in Europe. And so we use that. But in our case, it tells us what is necessary that has to happen in those sectors. It tells us that they need to be equally funded. But more importantly, although I may wish that everybody here get the hell out of Dodge and either get someplace, you know, else and, you know, reside or go back to the motherland or craft out a piece of territory here, although I may wish that, I know that out of 45 million people, that's not going to happen overnight and, you know, not for some time. So as a consequence, the next best thing that we do is that we have to control the economics and the politics where we are, particularly when we have a sizable percent and mostly over 50% of the population, all right? If we have that, that means that we should be in control, all right? If we're in control, all right, there's some area that is concerned about general public service, which is basically general public service is basically tying these other eight sectors that I talked about, defense and public order. Now, we don't think of defense and public order, but it says, how do you protect yourself, you know, if somebody from outside come in aggressively, all right, to dominate you when you are sustaining yourself? We may not be sustaining ourselves now, but when we get to the point, because we're on our plan, our objective is to sustain and protect ourselves, okay? If we're not doing it now, we're going to do that, and how do we sustain that, all right? That's what that plan does, all right? So it says we're not doing it now, but we have to plan to do it. We have to plan the UN framework. Well, I'm glad they did that because they broke it down, which makes it very easy for us because we now know how the Europeans see their existence. We now know that, well, this is how they see to manage their resource throughout the globe. Now we see how we need to begin to take control of those resources from them. In fact, that's what ULU does about, because when ULU, and for family members that are members, if you don't know about the ULU-based communities, you got to take a look at that because it allows us, when we look at ourselves as part of a community, how we take control of that community. Now we know how to take control of that community because we are examining inside a community, particularly in the governance structure of the European model, general public services, economic affairs, environmental protection, housing and community amenities, health and wellness, recreational, religion and culture, and other things. All right. That's how we do it because it gives us a framework on how to move. We have to take control of that. Anybody else on the line, Sister Q?
Let me check. No, we do not have any other hands up. You're doing good. You got about 15 minutes more.
Okay. Well, let me roll on. Family. Yeah, please call in. You know, and talk to me. Talk to us. And you know, while we're doing this, one of the reasons. All right. Now you take. I want to take three of the sectors. I just want to look at three of the sectors, and I give it. This will be a little bit more concrete on what I want to talk about. I want to look at general public services. I want to look at health and wellness, and then I want to look also at housing and. I want to take that. Yeah, let's look at housing. All right.
Okay.
Let's look at housing. All right. And then I want to take, all right, two of the blackest cities in America. The two of the blackest cities in America is Jackson, Mississippi, which has 82.2% of its population are black, and in Detroit, Michigan, 77.8% of its population is also black. Unfortunately, they have a white mayor, so, you know, can't help that, all right? And he's been there since 2014, all right, because when some of the mayors that we elect, unfortunately, they are not electing. They're part of the democratic process as natural. Not that the Republican process is any better now, but they're part of the democratic process. And then they articulate the policy of the Democratic Party leadership. And unfortunately, it may appear that we're in the leadership, but we're not in the leadership. We have to run. There is no reason in the world that any black politician on Capitol Hill should be talking about Israel and its right to protect itself while it's committing genocide. There's no reason in the world, right. But you got the black caucus, and you got the black senators up there on the Hill saying that kind of nonsense, all right? Because they're following the dictates of their masters. They're not following the dictates by study. But anyway, I want to take a look at just those two cities, because we definitely have majority population in those cities, Jackson, Mississippi, Detroit, Michigan, and, you know, and they're in two different parts of the U.S., all right? Now, having said that, all right, let's take, if you look at general public service, what that is supposed to is provide smooth functioning and of an independent and self-determining black America. Now, for the sake of a better word now, because it's looking at that, I'll use that term, or African America, anything you want to call it, all right? But it's saying that inside the boundaries of America, and now I want to look at Jackson, Mississippi, and I want to look at Detroit, Michigan. Within that, we should be independent and self-determined, because as much as we can be as a city with that population density that we have. This includes facilitating proper and effective governance through who we select and elect. In other words, when you select or you elect a person in that governance structure, he or she has to do what you say, not what the Democratic Party says. He has to do or she has to do what you say. All right? That's the politics. There should not be any store, industry operating in that area where you have nearly 80 or over 80% of the population that doesn't look like you. So that's the first thing you begin to do, all right, with that. How do I organize in general public service? How do I organize such that I can capture? I have the, and put decision makers who follow my decision, all right, in power, all right, to overturn all of this stuff where I am the majority population in that particular area. Health and wellness, all right, is supposed to cover a range of goods and services and activities that are associated with producing high-quality health outcomes, okay? And that means you got hospitals, all right, you got clinics, you got those industries that supply hospital, that supply clinics, all right? You got those industries, all right, that not only that also determine, you know, give you cautions on the health practices that you should be doing, all right, so that you don't get as sick. You don't get the cancer. You don't get the high blood pressure. You don't get all of this stuff, all right, including, all right, well, we know that the air, and that goes back to one of the other sectors that's dealing with environmental protection, so that you got the air and water that also feeds into our community where we are a majority population. All right, are we in control? All right, in fact, if we're not, we're planning to do control. So when history, Black History Month, comes around and then we interact with our people, we're saying what progress in Jackson, Mississippi. I'm saying there's other areas, but in Jackson, Mississippi, okay, also in Detroit, Michigan, what progress have we made if we don't have to be able to control, all right, those things that impact our life? All right, what things are we done different do we need to do differently? What do we need to do and sustain and keep going, and then just do an evaluation next year? What do we have to talk about when Kwanzaa comes around? All right, we're doing the same thing, a half-year identification. All right, so what are we doing in addition to what we're doing now when we practice Black History Month? In addition to that, what else are we doing as we're trying to move for self-determination, liberty, and freedom from the tyranny of the Europeans in this land? All right. All right. And so when we also talk about health and stuff like that, we need to do the exact same thing. You know, so when we do wellness, all right, when we do recreation, when we do general public services, when we do health and community amenities, we need the same thing. We need to talk, and let me tell you what that is, because we know about the incursion, all right, of Europeans and others into our communities. I mean, we have now people, undocumented aliens. I don't have no problem with them. I don't, you know, they're trying to deal with the national policies or international policies of the U.S. and Western Europe on their particular country, all right? They're being imposed because those countries provide resources for the U.S., all right? And so they have to have the labor is cheap, and they have to have an abundance to be able to capture the resources there to keep the lifestyle for those people who are wealthy here in this country. And so we know the gentrification. If we're 70%, 80% plus of the population, what are we doing to make sure that we have housing? What are we doing to make sure that the amenities that we have that support the housing, all right, is for our people and have us live a different life? What are we doing to curb the implementation of invasion from outside, which threatened the security as well as the safety of where we live in Detroit and in Jackson, Mississippi? All right, are we talking about those things during Black History Month? All right, are we talking about those things during Kwanzaa? Are we making adjustments during Black History Month? Are we making adjustments during Kwanzaa? If we're not, then we're not doing what we're supposed to do. And so we can't blame the Mexican for coming in or the person from Venezuela for coming in, all right, or the Haitian from coming in. We got to say what we are not doing, we should be doing. All right, let's take these opportunities as we give honor and praise to our ancestors who came before us, who laid the path during Black History Month. In addition, let's make them proud by beginning to do and take care of things in order to make us free. All right. We will comment on what makes us free as opposed to what is just happening with a single leader. So Sister Q, I know we're running out of time. The objective is, and I said that the planning of this, just people got to take a look at the planning. Just do the executive summary, if you don't like to read that much. If you don't mind reading, you know, take your time and go through that. If you go through that, all right, then next thing you have to say, well, how do I get involved, you know, to try to put this in fruition? ULU has one of the best models with its ULU-based communities, because within that community, the same things that plan outlines, all right, ULU doesn't do it as detail, but it's one of the things that they assume have to do in detail, because they have to control, if they're more than 50% of their population, all right, they have to say we have to take control of the economy, all right, that operates in our area in which we are more than 50% of the population. And how that area is broken down are those nine sectors that I just mentioned. We should have industries in those sectors. We should be organizing. And our motto is family-centered. How do we get the family and the community involved? You know, it's not just the entrepreneur, you know, and peace be unto him. You know, he's okay or she's okay. Don't have no problem, because you have, you know, picked up some slack where we weren't before. But right now we need community ownership, all right, and we need to be involved. And so our community, which is why we set up our UBCs, is to say do an evaluation. Where were we last year? Where should we be? What else do we have to do? Are we are in control? And if we can't say no, we're not in control yet, then you got some work to do for the incoming year. All right, anybody raise their hand with the last minute or two left?
No hands are up. There are no hands up right now. What I wanted to say is that, as you mentioned with Ulu, we would control that. And you talked about the entrepreneurs. One of the reasons our entrepreneurs, in many instances, are not successful is because they don't have community backing. Nobody knows who they are. Nobody knows what they're doing. So the Ulu model would help them by bringing them in, you know, so the community will know who they are. And it strengthens Ulu because we have people with the expertise who can bring business, show us how business is done. And I think that's
right.
One hand washed the other.
That's important. That's extremely important, Sister, what you just said there, is because that's why the Europeans are not going to support your business. The Chinese are not going to support your business. In fact, I remember when I was in Baltimore, when I was there, I was trying to work with this Chinese. You know, I wanted to work with her business. I really just wanted to do some. I was just hustling. Okay, but you know,
okay,
I was just hustling.
No problem with that.
All right, and she, you know, there's a lot of Chinese stores in the black community, right? And so what she wanted, mm-hmm. she wanted that I would help her business, and then bring some blacks, other blacks, to help her business, but not in her business. In other words, we do peripheral kind of work. I wanted a cooperative, mm-hmm. Not cooperative, but a working relationship between her business that I was developing and her business, which she established. All right? And she mm-hmm. was more interested in that I support her business, not necessarily that she was going to do anything else. She, mm-hmm. You know, her staff was purely mm-hmm. Chinese. Okay? You know, and that's what I knew. The Chinese are not going to support you, brothers and sisters. I hate to say that. The Koreans are not going to do the same thing. We already know about the white folks. They're not going to support your business, all right? And we don't even support our business. Well, we should, all right? All right, so we should support. Nobody else is going to support us. All right, so we need to be involved actively in supporting our business. We need to be in that sector. When I say health and wellness, just the skills that is necessary to maintain that. Remember now, these are people who are trained in the capacity. That's allopathic medicine, whether it's, you know, you go to Wittestan or naturopathic or whatever it is. These are people who are trained, but there's a foundation. They need supplies. They need equipment. Okay. They have to mm-hmm. have staff, because as they interact with the community, you know, they have to have what is necessary to be organized and systematic so that they can deliver health and wellness that is currently not being delivered by other people that don't look like you and I.
Exactly.
All right. So mm-hmm. the thing is, how do we make that happen? And so the UBCs has got to be able to say, how do we make that happen? All right. And then begin to organize, all right, and to make that happen. And to always follow up to make sure of the accountability and the objectives are still being served by whatever task they assigned during that year before they do another evaluation. That's what we're talking about.
Right.
And so, brothers and sisters, if you haven't, you want to get involved in Ulu, all right, if you feel a need, all right, that the things are not happening the way they should, get involved. If you are already members, as Sister Q said earlier, we got a convention coming up next month in a couple, 2 or 3 weeks, all right? And more importantly, we have nominations available for officers on our board, all right? We have some vacancies. So take that responsibility. A lot of the board members are, you know, getting elderly. I mean, they're in good shape. But we need some of the young folks that are in better shape, all right? take that responsibility. Put those sectors that I mentioned into practice. Do the evaluation so that it makes us happen. Sister Q, I'm going to be quiet. I know that you got a lot on your plate to do. I want to thank you for giving me the opportunity to share this evening. And I appreciate the brother calling in and making it very clear on what we do. We cannot expect man. We got the foundation. We got the plan. We got the methodology to make it happen. We just need you in there saying that you can do it.
For sure. Thank you. Thank you very much, Brother Sabaka. As always, you present something for us to think about and to mull over in our minds and see how we can fit into such a program. What can we do to make it happen? And we also want to thank everyone that joined us this evening. We invite you to join us again next Thursday evening at 9 o'clock Eastern Time for another installment of Dare to Win. Peace.
Peace.
Peace and happiness. The Creator made God one demand, peace and happiness.